Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
It's still morning, Mark. How are you doing? Happy New Year to you.
I've been here. Let me say good morning to Dennis and yourself. I've been here for a very long time. I've listened to so many comments and commentaries that perhaps I'm not going to be repetitious, but I'll tell you, I want you to get a pen, a piece of paper, because there's some questions I need you as a journalist to forfeit state to find out for some of your callers and myself. Mm-hmm. First, I want you to find out who is the owner of the Olympic, the Empire Cinema. Who owns the property? If it's government or private enterprise. I want you to find out who owns the land and the buildings by where, on the just below that, where the waterworks was in, which was the Hilburn's place, which would take you down to, I would probably think, just around the fast food place there, that area, around that corner. I want you to find out who owns the properties there. Listen to what I'm saying.
Oh, you mean the one on the right side of the Empire?
Empire. I want you to find out who owns the Empire property. I want you to find out the properties traveling left, right of the Empire and coming around the corner, where there's the fast food service, and going all the way down, not as far as Loylash. But I want you to find out who are the owners of the properties, land in that area. There's a reason I'm asking. I also want you to find out who owns the land that the St. John Ambulance Brigade is situated on. And I want to explain something to you. I heard a caller call and made some comments about if it was this party next, but I want to remind him, and I want to remind some of the vendors, that a particular minister went into Fairchild Street, took off the roof of a building there, said it would be replaced in 100 days. Far from 100 days, they've lost the government. Nothing has been done. So this idea of talking about party this and party that, don't let's talk about party situation, because I remember that building being destroyed. And now I'm hearing vendors complaining that there was not approached. There was not approached when the roof was torn off. Also, one of the things that we seem not to understand, I heard you said earlier, Mr. Price, that as far as bus terminals are concerned, that you believe there shouldn't be, you believe there should be one. I agree with you in a sense, but you realize that years ago, the very building that is now being contested as far as land acquisition was concerned, Ms. Rams building, that a group of black businessmen, Job, Trevor Clark, Mohammed Nasser, I think the same comments, and several of them approached the then government for permission to transform that building into a bus terminal and market. Nothing was given. Eventually, we found out that tiny talks went in there. So I'm saying that somewhere along the line, let's put our records right. Now, I don't know if you remember the days when the buses was to park where the fast station is. No. Remember, that, you know, that was a bus terminal too.
I remember there was a bus terminal at some point.
Oh, there was a bus terminal, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to say this, right? I'm not opposed to the development as far as parks are concerned, but I want to ask Barbadians to walk with me to three parks and find out if the parks are necessary, but the maintenance of the parks is questionable. Mm-hmm. For example, if you go down to Jubilee Gardens, the state of Jubilee Gardens is depressing. The fountain in there don't work. If you come up to Independence Square, again, certain conditions within Independence Square, the fountain in there don't work either. If you go across the fountain out in Trafalgar Street, Trafalgar Square, that fountain don't work either. And worst of all, if you go up to Queen's Park, the fountain in Queen's Park don't work. So I don't know the conditions of these parks. Money is being spent in developing these parks, but somewhere along the line, Mr. Price, the maintenance of these parks seem to fall apart. So if you're going to build parks, then we have to probably go back to parks and beaches, where we'll have people who will be responsible for the maintenance of the parks and maintenance of the beaches. But so far as it is now, we've got NCC, National Conservation Commission, who is responsible for the maintenance over in Montefiore Gardens, over there by the library. Again, another false start. So it don't make sense that we are going to be spending money to beautify this country, and a department or departments that should maintain the standards has fallen below the standards.
But we're really talking here management of these facilities. It's one thing to have the facilities, as you said, is another thing to manage them. And that is something that we need to look at separately. And just for correction's sake, the one in Independence Square, the Franklin Independence Square, is working.
Mr. Price, there is a supervisor at NCC who is responsible for overseeing these areas. Mr. Price, you just give me your mobile. Go down to Jubilee Gardens and tell me if you are satisfied with what you're seeing there. Go up by the Franklin Gardens and tell me, as you heard a little while ago, if that fountain in there is working. Go up Queen's Park. A lot of money was spent in maintaining the fountain in Queen's Park. Don't work. And Independence Square, I'm not talking about the fountain so much in Independence Square. I'm talking about the maintenance of Independence Square, which is a little bit better than those that I've just called. But they need to be maintained. So much for that. Now, we're talking about the demolishing of the building. I believe that the fire station, similar to my friend Gabby, there's a place for the fire station, either lower down the harbour. They've got plenty space down lower Hicks Street, plenty space down front of us, that the what it would consider to be the fire station would still have a status within the precincts of Bridgetown. But I have not heard anything other than that they will be sent to Arch Hall and they'll be sent to the next place. But I believe we should have the visibility of a fire station within the precincts of Bridgetown or on the circumference of Bridgetown. That is one of the things that I'm hoping. And I think that when you look down on the area of Hicks Street all the way down, and you look at Fontibel and you look within those areas, I think there's enough land and government-owned land in that area as well. So the fire station could be just out of Bridgetown, but the fire station could still be in a position to maintain its activity within Bridgetown, because on the southern side of the island, you've got the fire stations on the southern side of the island. Surely we're going to have a fire station in Arch Hall in St. Thomas. I'm saying these things because, yes, we must have a country that must develop. But in this development, we must move along, people, with the development. People are part of your development. You cannot have something take. For example, you went at the last government bill, what we consider to be the bus terminal out in Fairchild Street over yonder, across the river.
Mm-hmm.
You're now taking 15 buses that play that route from out by the Empire Theatre and sending them across there. I am saying to Joanne, I'm saying to these people, you start wrong. There's a land on the eastern side of that Constitution terminal. On the eastern side, that you need to knock that wall out, and allow those 15 buses to be permanent over there, because it would mean that they would have access of getting out, they have access of getting in. But as it is now, those of us who use that terminal, and I'm one of the regular people who use that terminal on Fridays, it is inconvenient, especially when school children are out. It's inconvenient, especially for Christmas when people had a lot of shopping to do, and it cannot hold the commuters. So it don't make sense moving 15 buses over there and have not made the provision for the commuters. So get some money, knock out the wall out there, make it a little bit more bigger for the commuters to feel comfortable in, and give the mini bus drivers of that area space that they can maneuver the buses in and out comfortable. So let me repeat that again for those of you who are familiar with that bus stand. It is too small. It can be improved by knocking out the wall on the eastern side where cars, three or four cars, belongs to people that bus drivers will park. But knock out that wall and extend it to the point where those 15 buses will be able to be accommodated at that end. They will have access in and they'll have access out. That is point number one, point number two. Point number two, Jessamy Avenue. Those who are familiar with Jessamy Avenue, which is the avenue that went between the very building and the square, that whole area needs to be revisited. And so I agree that if you're going to build something, they'll build it. But I also believe that it has to be built with a lot of history and a lot of background involved. For example, when we're talking about that area, we're talking about Kenneth Wickham. We're talking about Arrow Bar in 1967, National Insurance Act. We're talking about the guy from Trinidad who came in. We're talking about a whole set of people within that radius within that radius who has made that area very, very historical. So just to destroy, then you have to come back and maintain the names and memories of these people who were there long before we are thinking of what we are thinking of now. I'm of the opinion, closing out, I'm of the opinion that some people seem not to accept what is going on because they were not told. There was no form of meetings, there was nothing like that. So all these people are left in the dark as what is to go on. I believe that a series of meetings, I heard Joanne with it this morning, a series of meetings, meeting the people, talking to the people, find out exactly what is the problem, what are their concerns, will take us to the development that we're thinking about. There's another building that nobody talks about that is an eyesore. And that is the Spielberg building. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, old BB building.
That is an eyesore.
Mm-hmm.
And when the guys talk about that area, if we are supposed to develop old Barbados and have history, there was an alley that went between the back of the Empire Theater and when we're out to Sherlin's Alley. If that is for development, then let's think about reopening the alley. Let's think about the developers seeing that whole lower end of Bay Street as an area for development. Let's make sure that we just don't do it to satisfy a person. We do it to satisfy a community and a group of people. Years ago, there was an alley that came from Jessamy all the way across, Mr. Price, at the back of the Empire Theater, and you walk right on to Bay Street, right across to the beach. I think the developers need to ask for an old map of Barbados. And having an old map of Barbados, you will see exactly that there have been some close off of some alleys in the area of Bay Street, and they need to relive them. I'm of the opinion that Barbados has to change its approach. And it can't change its approach by a group of people imposing on others. It has to have everybody saying, well, yeah, we have reached a point where we need to continue. And we need to change and transform Barbados to the point where it is not only for the tourists, it is for us Barbadians to enjoy. So all of those things I've just mentioned to you, and I've made a note of them, I want you to check. I want you to check, because I don't want to repeat myself, check the locations and breakdown that I need of maintenance. I want you to check the ownership of lands that I talked about, and you will see exactly what I am talking about. There is a misunderstanding. A misunderstanding, and what was said this morning is true. You can't have a fire station in the heart of a hotel. So obviously, God, I think we're moving that. You can't have a fire station on the outside of a hospital. You got to think we're moving that. So the only place for the fire station to go is in a northerly direction. I'm like, well, right.
I take your point. Mark, thanks for your call. Thanks for your contribution. We move to another call. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Yes. I'm concerned about some roses in St. Simon and St. Andrew. Hello?
Yes, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yes,
you're concerned about roads in St. Simon's and St. Andrew. What sort of condition are they in?
A bridge that was out of order for a long, long, long time with both governments. And no one seems to look at it. And it's a one-way into St. Simon's by entering isolation.
Oh, yeah. And
Yes. And isolation wasn't designed or developed for a lot of traffic that's passing through there now. Especially if you meet a bus and you can't drive properly, you would drop off on one side of the road. And I was thinking that if they could fill up one side of the road and make it a little wider to make it possible that it'd be easier to get in and out, or there's a road little before you get the same bridge that the branch to St. Simon's, a cart road, could clear it and drop some Mara stuff or some river grits in it. In case this thing happened, that people in St. Simon's or isolation are still able to move a little freely.
Mm-hmm. Have you discussed this with your constituency representative?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Not really.
Because I would think that with him being number two in the hierarchy of the present government, he would have some sort of pull and be able to make things like this happen more readily.
I can find some time
You need to because I mean, I understand what you're saying. I'm familiar with the road, and I agree with you. It's not the best, and it would be great that you can have great access in that area. But it's a very picturesque area, I must admit.
Yeah, beautiful place.
I like it down there. It's very, very nice. Yeah. And but I'm sure that the Mr. Mr. Payne, I'm sure would want to hear from his constituents, and I think you should discuss it with them and try and see if you can get fast track that way.
Yeah, because the bridge is really in a lot of problems to repair. I even look at it myself.
Are you an engineer, sir?
No, I'm not really an engineer, I'm a mechanic.
Right.
But I hope that we ministry will do something about it in the near future.
Yeah. Well, the hardest thing is to let them know you've said it publicly, but also it'd be good if you go to one of the constituency clinics and let your voice be heard to the relevant people at those constituency clinics, and so you can get some sort of action for your area.
Okay.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for calling. Anything else that's happening? Are you excited about the regathering coming to your area?
Yes.
When is St. Andrew's turn?
I think St. Andrew's will be in August, though.
August? Ooh, that's a long time for now. But you got to prepare between now and then, man.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
So let's hope the road in St. Simon's will be fixed by then. All right?
Okay.
All right, thank you very much. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, sir. How are you today?
I'm giving thanks. And how are you?
I'm well. I'm always giving thanks.
Yeah, I'm wishing a happy new year for you and the family.
Same to you, sir.
All at VOB. I think you're doing a very good job. What I'm saying is this, that I believe that project should be halted a little bit because of we should have built a fire station central of the city, because we have so many beautiful, intelligent people working in the city, and we should always have a knowledge that with all these earthquakes and things, that a fire could break out any time. And we don't need the fire stations too far away all the way, because they weren't able to get there in time, and we lose so much lives, and sometimes the whole city burned down, we're in trouble. Another thing, too, we need to check the weight of the building, which is that insurance building. We should have knowledgeable engineers who can give you a weight and the density of the implosion, because an explosion is different than an implosion.
It's not going to be imploded, sir.
What is going to be done?
It's going to be... The way I understand it's going to be demolished is that they're going to take off the top first by some, I think it's robots or something like that, and then it's going to break it down bit by bit, but it's not going to be imploded like they did with Hilton.
Well, that's very great. Because that what I'm seeing is the riverbed, right? If you implode it, you might get some seismological movement, which we have a lot of earthquakes in the Caribbean now. And it could trigger something. The hospital might come down. VOE might go down. And then some good buildings might go down. So it's very good if they are going to take it down that way. But another thing, if that you do a feasibility study, and it would be easier to get rid of the disease or whatever. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
And try to remodel it in a way so that it can house some of the government offices that are so expensive for the government to pay and use that same building then as offices.
But sir, how long has that building been closed?
Sir. I'm not speaking about the time, amount of time it was
But that's important, But that's important. Because, look, when you have a building that is giving problems, the retrofitting sometimes of that is so expensive, it don't make sense. I'm speaking now as a person who did a lot of retrofitting to an older house, since I have an older house. All right?
Maybe.
The amount of money that I would have poured into that house, it would have been cheaper for me to implode the whole thing and build a new property. Because that way you would have built to suit yourself, and you would have a bigger structure and everything, and you would have all the conveniences. Sometimes it really don't make sense. I'm not saying in this particular case that it wouldn't make sense, because I don't know. But all I'm saying is that, generally speaking, it is certainly more cost effective to be able to build a newer building and put in new facilities. It's just like, well, Hilton, I remember when they were going to implode that, because they were selling out a whole bunch of stuff. And And I went there with a buddy of mine to get some stuff that they were selling. And I was saying to myself, why are they knocking this building down or whatnot? You know, and then I saw one of these engineer guys, and he was explaining to me, and this is years ago, obviously. And he was telling me, but, you know, given all the things that we can do on this same space, how we can utilize this space differently and much more effectively, it makes more sense to do that. Because of the cost involved, so you take the whole thing down, and then you build it up in such a way that you utilize the same space, but how it's reconfigured is such that you can get more value for that space. So,
point of order, sir. Don't you think that it would be more feasible to erect a fire station first in the center of the country, find some place because it's dangerous to put a fire station outside of a city, knowing that it is the heart of our country, and then you can demolish it after. But I don't see the sense of putting the firemen out now to some foul place in a fire break, because these things happen exactly the same time every year in these kind of modes. And then a big fire break on a bridge, they got to take an hour, and so many people lost their lives. So I would expect that even if they're imploding or whatever, they're doing, taking off piece by piece of the same building, insurance building, have the fire station still in place so that they can respond to anything that's going on in the city.
Sir, I personally feel that there should be some presence of a fire unit in Bridgetown. But I do not think that you have to, quote unquote, construct something first. You have to stop one thing to do one thing first and whatnot. These things can be dealt simultaneously. If you're going to have that presence at the makeshift unit that they have there by Bethel Church, fine. But they obviously have to locate some place within the city, I would think. At least I think that that's what they should be doing, where they can actually have put up a permanent unit. And that can be done. Now, as I said, we have not yet heard the overall plan. And I think that this is where the problem lies. And I would suspect that all that is being fine-tuned. And that's why, if you were listening to the program from the very beginning, I said clearly the somebody jumped the gun, and the whole thing started. The whole thing got out there before they were actually ready to start discussing it.
Sir, I hope it's not going to be an implosion, because if it is going to be an implosion,
it has been already said that there will not be an implosion. So don't go back there. That has been outlined. Okay. So don't go back there. It's not going to be an implosion. That point has been made. All right? All right. We take another call very quickly. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you. This is Roy Morris. How are you?
Hi, Roy. I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm Roy Morris is the press secretary to the Prime Minister, for those who don't know.
Thank you. Calling with a little bit of reluctance, because they don't want to get in the way of people expressing themselves. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
But this matter of the fire service has come up day after day now, since the announcement was made about the demolition of the National Insurance Building. Mm-hmm. I just want to make one point in response to the callers, and that is that the fire service is not being moved out of Bridgetown. So your last caller spoke about moving the fire service, and it can take an hour for people to respond.
Yeah, that's nonsense, though.
The fire service is not being moved out of Bridgetown. It will remain within the same ring, and as the fire chief has indicated, it will be done so with a response of not more than 3 to 4 minutes to any fire, which is the standard. Currently, the fire service is looking at a location that they have selected. And once everything is proper and right, that's where the fire service is going to go. The decision in relation to the container that the nation used carried last Sunday and created all of this conversation really is that the container is nothing more than what is done with the police when there is an emergency. Mm-hmm. If you have an area that creates a challenge and the police want to have a presence in it, that's where what the police do. They're mobile stations.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're having essentially is a mobile station as close to the existing location as possible. And bear in mind, that the mobile station was not the choice of anybody else other than the fire service itself. They were the ones that went for that option, okay? And it is only designed to be used during the day, not for anybody to sleep in or not for anybody to be in overnight. It is just a location where there will be a fire engine, a fire appliance stationed as well. But the fire service is going to be the fire station itself. I'm not going to tell you the location that they've chosen. They will get the chance to do that themselves. But the location that they have selected is a matter of 2 minutes from the existing location of the fire service headquarters. And that's all I really wanted to update people on, so that you don't keep going on with this discussion about moving the fire service someplace outside of Bridgetown and people can't respond.
Great, Roy. Thank you very much for that intervention. We have to break for the regional roundup and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. This is Sanka Price with you, along with Dennis Johnson. We haven't read any of our WhatsApp messages, but I'll try to get in quite a few of them here just after the news. But I have this gentleman, have someone who has been waiting here now for over an hour. You're on the air. Good afternoon to you.
Well, thanks for having accommodated me now. Good afternoon, Mr. Sanka Price.
Good afternoon.
I wish you well. I hope you have a remarkable new year.
Once it's healthy, my friend. Once it's healthy. Once you have good health, everything else follows.
Yes. I wish you well, as always.
Thank you.
Now, and good morning to Your Excellency, Mr. Gabby. This is Raul. How are you doing, sir? How are you doing? Because sir won't be associated with Your Excellency. No? Right. How are you doing, Gabby? Yeah. Okay. I want to touch on a couple of things here. Now, someone highlighted last week about the Hamers Bridge, and now this morning the St. Simon's Bridge. Mm-hmm. I'm saying these bridges need, and for some time they've been the call about investigating the bridges. You know, we had a whole stir there with the wells, and that is an idea one day. You don't hear nobody talking about no wells anymore. For the life of me, I can't understand in Barbados why things start, and then they one, and then they go to closure. Who you hear? Spoken about wells recently. But wells still issue. Wells need to be investigated, case, and inspected periodically.
Except so hasn't the work started since then? I mean, I remember the Nation revisited the Pine as well as Haynesville, and some people said that, well, most of the people said that the NHC, they came, they looked at the wells, some of them have to come back, but some were also repaired in terms of the tops of them. So it has to be an ongoing work, but I agree with you. You have to keep mentioning these things to keep people's feet to the fire, but it is ongoing work. In terms of the bridges, that is something that I agree with you wholeheartedly as well, Raul, because I remember... maybe this is about 10 years ago, I'm not quite sure. There was this bridge in St. Andrew, name I really can't remember. And I went down there, and underneath you can see the long cracks, and then they eventually they closed off the road. This is the one that links back. I really can't remember the names of those places, but all the damage was underneath.
Yes.
Where the waters flow, the guys used to do some crayfishing.
Mm-hmm.
And one would never have guessed, because you couldn't see from the top.
From the top.
A lot of the cracks. Yeah. But apparently the people who raised the alarm were the youngsters who were crayfishing. They saw these cracks underneath the bridge.
Right. So,
but again, we're talking maintenance, and we know that maintenance is one of the major problems that we have.
In government, generally,
anyhow, you make your point.
There need to be an inspectorate in government established for these sort of things.
Isn't there? You sure there isn't?
Ministries? Ineffective. Because if you're going to say it's effective, you can't say it's effective, and then you have the plight of all these... people faced with this broken bridge and crack bridge and falling bridges and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. If it is there and it is effective, you can't have the same. If you understand the point I'm making.
Yeah, I understand.
If the inspector is there, that's why more functional. Mm-hmm. Now, keeping with the trend with the roads and bridges, here in Orange Hill, now over 20 years, there was a contract, I understand, from Trains to Apes Hill, cutting of road, road development, et cetera, expanding the road. Over 20 years, this road was being fixed and still on. Then all like, no, you know, if you go to certain parts of Orange Hill here, you have stucco steel with a little red tape around it in a most precarious way. And on this road, you have the learning center, you have little children. Not trying to paint or pillar anybody, but it is high time now. Over 20 years, I am saying it's high time now that they can be brought to closure and fix this road. The most precarious part in Orange Hill is six houses from me here. This is what we call it. You know Orange Hill, sir?
Yeah.
You know the cut rock when you leave? You know when you swing to go across to Water Hall? Water Hall, where is the polo field and thing? You know when
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, you keep straight ahead. You don't turn there. You keep straight up and you go through that precarious cut rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know the cut rock I mean?
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
two buses can't pass, a bus mm-hmm. and a L200 cannot
tight.
Pass.
It's tight.
Mm-hmm. It's tight? But let me tell you something. A lady got struck in there some years ago, and a gentleman ran down, sir, I want ambulance. When I got there, if you hear the monk hard, like the woman said, she got struck. She called about 1,000 times. Hit me real 1,000 times hard. Now, that cut rock, I am saying it's not rocket science. You can bring this, that thing that cut rock. You don't have to repave the air or anything. You know, once you cut it down to the level of the road and smoothen it off, you can see the corner taken out. And that can be done in, I say, less than a week or so with that thing that cut. That, you know what I mean? That big demolition hammer, you call it?
I know the thing, the machine.
Right, well, we'll cut through. That cut yeah. rock is... But let me compound this now. You know, a little bit in front of me here, a guy came on the road at 5,000 miles an hour and hit a lower cut rock. And he struck five times, because I can show the five hits. And at one time, you rub alongside the rock. No, if a human being was inside there, what would have happened? You would have to come and rake off the flesh off that rock. Because once that vehicle goes through the rock, you would have been between the rock and the vehicle. I don't know if you get the picture of what I'm trying to paint.
Yes, I do. So, but what you're really highlighting, though, is it's something that we have on a lot of roads in Barbados. And they need to... The size of our vehicles, in fact, one of the good things that I've noted is that over the last 4 or 5 years, we've been importing smaller vehicles. But yeah. We got to look at the size of our vehicles and vis-a-vis the size of our roads. That's the first thing. And secondly, the need for sidewalks. I mean, raised sidewalks. Because take, for example, what you're talking here about the cut rock. When you cut it down, there should still be room for at least a sidewalk where pedestrians can walk safely through that area, and it's raised, so you know, for a vehicle to get to them, it would have to sort of hit and then jump up at them.
Yeah, I got you.
Give
make
them
a lot
time, you know. And you see, It's not just about, because some people see sidewalks as being an inconvenience, but the reality is that sidewalks allow people, apart from pedestrians, to walk safely. If we're going to place this emphasis on health and wellness, we have to provide areas in which people can walk safely. They have to be well lit and they have to be raised so that someone can walk next to traffic while traffic is passing, and without that having that fear. And as you would know, especially in rural districts, when you walk alongside the road, is the only thing that separates you from in fact, there's nothing that separates you from the oncoming traffic, because you are walking in the road. Right,
but
next to a key and piece, you know. I mean, it really is not good enough. But I mean, this, we know how the development, we know how these things would have happened over the years. But but really, what you would like to see is that this continuous improvement, where you can try, especially in heavily populated areas, where you can try to see if you can get sidewalks built. But it costs money, yes. I don't know how these things can be sponsored or can be, there can be some sort of collaboration, but is something that needs to be done, especially, as I said, if we're placing the emphasis on health and wellness, where we want people to be able to be walking and riding bicycles more in terms of their health, improving their health status. And this is where these sidewalks come in.
Hot on the heels of you saying that. Go down the road now, when you pass the pasture with the pavilion, the sidewalks there. You know, the road, and the sidewalk is taken up with all the debris, and you got to end up in the road. So, and when you're saying sidewalk, you got to advocate, don't weed and put the debris on the sidewalk.
And also,
if you see it, it's horrendous when you see it. You can't walk on that at all.
And that is why people parking on sidewalks, you know, where you half the car is on the sidewalks, and you basically block the sidewalk, and then the pedestrian has to especially if they're somewhat buxom, they can't get through the little space left. So they have to walk around the vehicle. That means they have to walk into the road to get to the other side of the sidewalk. It's a no-no, but these are the things that happen. These are the things that we do. And these are the sort of things that we need to sensitize people about. And it's just one, this is another thing that has to be done to improve the aesthetics of this country. And it's something I have to work on. Is there anything else you want to raise, sir?
Yeah, certainly. But quickly, in saying that the 20 years is too long now for this road to remain undone. And I'm saying they can cut rock, and isn't a Herculean task to have it done. 20 years is over too long now. It's time enough now that it's getting there expeditiously and bring it to closure. Now, monument. Mr. Johnson will shake at you in the booth and says, I am not about monuments. They like monumental decisions that will last for another eternity. So he would tell you yes. And I'm consistent. I'm also relentless. So this is no coin phrase. Ain't no coin this morning. And I'm not getting into that thing. But we want to say with you and for your property rates is when you give up that structure for what you have for the whole area, the shopping and thing to the bottom, and then you go up. That is a classic. That is something that, I mean, the listening to solutions and opinions, yours is one that should go to the top of your list, because you're very clear. You're taking up that whole span and have it structured properly, and everything is under one big, vast umbrella. Mr. Johnson indicated saying like that sometime too, you know, when he was speaking about the building, the garden, the building, but I'm not going back on that. I'm still for monumental decisions. And the closing one now is political. I don't want to put you in a deep end, but there's two articles written by former minister, Mr. Hamilton Lashley, and I want to take up those. I've served notice already, but I think I'll take them up with either Mr. Ellis or Mr. Peter Wickham. If you want to touch on them briefly, you can. Dems must get house in order is one, the caption of one, and the next one is Hamila to DLP, be ready for elections. Now, pray tell me, with all this traction of Ms. Motley, what snap election? Why, Ms. Motley, we have to be placed in a situation? When do you get a snap election, Mr. Price? When you hear about snap election, what snap election with all this traction, all this crazy has got to her credit? What snap election, Mr. Lashley? Can you tell the public of Barbados, Mr. Price, was a snap? When do you think a snap election would be necessary?
I prefer to deal with the first one you mentioned, which is the house in order. This is something, if you recall, Peter Wickham was advising Ms. Verlo DePisa on as well. And anyone who really cares anything about real democracy in the country, and anyone who really cares anything about the Democratic Labour Party would understand the urgency of that. They may hold no seat in the House of Assembly given our first past the post system, but I think it's just over 22% of the electorate would have voted for the Democratic Labour Party. So they are, in my view, the real opposition party here. What Reverend Adderley has done, he's constitutionally, because he holds the seat, he's effectively the leader of the opposition since he has dissented from the government and gone over across the floor and set up his own party. But for me, the real opposition in this country is the Democrat Liberal Party. And I also think that they need to get their house in order in terms of letting the public know who they're, start getting the candidates ready, give them time to hit the ground and start meeting people, you know, pressing flesh, rubbing shoulders, what have you, you know, but they need to be more, they need to be seen and to be more engaged. No, no, this is not a, hold on.
You go on.
This is, I know where you're coming from, but I'm not trying to be partisan. I'm trying to be, I'm trying to look at it as objectively as possible, and as a Barbadian interested in democracy in our country, then you should always have a responsible alternative to the present government. Right now, in my view, there's not such a responsible alternative. I don't see one. Okay, what we have are people being critical and of every little thing, but we don't really have that alternative that the people be able to say this is a government in waiting. And that is something I think that every healthy democracy should have.
But Mr. Price, you would have heard me say already that traditionally in Barbados we are accustomed to the BLP or the DLP. Mm. One is government, the other is opposition. You would have heard me on this repeatedly. Mm. So I'm not here to say that we shouldn't have that kind of traditional opposition. Okay. But I am saying that it does not necessarily have to be the Democratic Labour Party either, too.
No, fair enough.
That's my right
fair
to
enough.
Say that.
And it is your right, and I cannot disagree with you with that.
Right.
But as I said, for that, at the end of the day, the Democratic Labour Party, as I said, got 22% of the vote last time. So therefore, they have roots throughout the country. They are genuinely the one political organization that that appeals to thousands of Barbadians, and we have to respect that, and I certainly respect it, and I certainly would like to see them get their house in order. Sir, as you can hear the theme, that means that we have to run because we have to go to the latest, and I want everyone to just stay with us, and after the latest we'll come right back.